In the Zone, live from the Fury Electric Studios, on the Buzz Radio Network, and online at 1037thebuzz.com.
It doesn't matter what I say, as long as I sing within flesh, it makes you feel that
I'm... Hey, welcome back to Oaklawn.
Hi.
Hey. Nine races today. The gates are open. People are coming in. First post today is at 1 o'clock.
Let me make sure. Nope, yeah. No emails from...
I see the phone ring.
Kevin Trainer.
I see Jeff Long. Approximate post time 1:30 is what this says. I'll have to double check that. I thought we were going at 1 o'clock today. Perhaps not.
1:30?
Yeah, 1:30 today. So, yeah, 1:30 okay. Today. So if you were hoping to get here by 1, you know what? You got a little extra time. So... head right to the Revolution Hotline and talk to University of Arkansas Athletic Director Jeff Long. Jeff, welcome back in the Zone. How are you?
I'm great. What time am I running today?
You are in the seventh race today, and you better give your best ever because that's a pretty good field right there.
I am ready to go, baby. I am ready to run.
That was one of our questions for you, was what your experience is with horse racing and how high your level of interest is. Have you had a chance to spend any time down here at Oaklawn?
I've been to one Oaklawn Arkansas Derby, and I loved it. But since then, the schedule hasn't permitted, but I'm hoping I can get back there again. But I want you to know, I don't know the horse business, but I am a horse owner, just so you know.
Really? Did not know that.
Yeah.
Where's your
horse? It's not a racing horse. My daughter's ride, so we have a hunter jumper horse. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Very good. And they compete, or they do it for fun?
Oh, they compete, yes. My oldest competes. My other one does it for fun. But, yes, I just attended the Northwest Arkansas Hunter Jumpers Association banquet last Saturday night when the Vanderbilt game was going on.
That sounds like a doozy. Sounds like a great time.
Oh, it was. It was good. And she won some awards, so I'm very, very proud of her.
Well, how many horses do you own?
Just one. That's all I can handle.
That's plenty. I would think so. So it's been a while since we talked to you. I mean, it's been kind of a quiet year, so that's good. I mean, not much has probably happened, but, you know.
I figured I must have done something to tick you guys off because you haven't called, you haven't written, you haven't tweeted, you haven't Facebooked. I just, you know, I miss you guys.
I have tweeted and we have reached out, but I know you've been busy, so, you know, we like you so much, we understand. So we're just happy to get you on when we can. So before we get into some of our specifics, I just want to – we like to do kind of a state of the program with you when we get you on.
Sure,
so
yeah. Everyone's listening.
So give me kind of a state of the program overview when you consider everything, whether it's the revenue or the non-revenue sports. How do you feel about the way things are going right now?
Well, athletic competition-wise, I think things are going very well. We're always striving to do better and more, and certainly the big piece is getting football, we believe, back on track with Coach Bielem and his staff, and they're involved in recruiting, obviously, and you guys all know that. But, you know, Mike Anderson is, I think, continuing to build our program. I mean, we're still a relatively young team, and we're going to have our ups and downs, but, you know, you can see that he is coming, and everybody knows about Mike's program, what it's going to be. He's just hadn't had long enough yet to get to the pieces in the puzzle, but once he does, we're going to be a consistently high-performing program. And then, gosh, you look at our men's indoor track team, ranked number one in the nation and defeated Texas in a dual meet, the number three team, and women's indoor track seventh, and baseball preseason number one, and our women's tennis team expecting great. And both our men's and women's golf teams are going to have, I predict, fantastic years. So competitively, I think we're doing as well as we ever have overall in the history of our program. Financially, I think we're on very rock-solid ground. We will need Razorback supporters who have the ability to assist us with the three projects we are building for our program. We'll need them to help us, and they've stepped up before, and we'll need them again. But we're building our basketball practice facility, our academic success center, and our baseball indoor track facility. So we're very excited. This is a great time to be in the Razorbacks and be with the Razorbacks and supporting our program. And I'm really excited about our future. Not to mention, one more thing, academically, we are performing at levels that we have not seen in many times, if ever. So things are going well, but again, we don't sit back and rest. We're continuing to push on and strive to be even better.
Yes, you got to encourage people to play like they're behind, even when they're ahead. That's kind of my
philosophy. Absolutely. The minute you think you've arrived is the moment you start falling behind.
There you go. Well, we've talked a lot about Coach Anderson, and Pat and I are both convinced, and I think anybody who understands basketball would be convinced that things are going to get going the right direction, and they are headed in the right direction. They're certainly not where they want to be just yet either, but when you look at what he did at UAB and at Missouri, we have a lot of confidence in that. Now, we've had people that are very impatient. Fortunately, athletic directors like yourself and radio hosts like us are much more patient than the average fan is, but one thing we are seeing, Jeff, is a great amount of interest, and whether it's people upset about the way Arkansas played in their first SEC game or people excited about the way they played in the Vanderbilt game, you're seeing a lot of interest and excitement about it, and the passion is back, I think. We went through a pretty good period there of apathy. Are you feeling that level of connection again with the fan base that maybe we lost for a while?
Absolutely. I mean, I think fans are always, there's always passion of fans. There are always fans. Even when we were in a period, I think, a little bit of malaise with our program, believe me, there were still strong people reaching out about our program. So that's always there. We understand it. We welcome it. And that's part of what makes us great. But, yeah, I do feel the excitement. I do feel people coming back to our games and getting involved and supporting and listening and, you know, showing up to the Mike Anderson show and all those things. So, yeah, I think it's back. And once we get performing at a consistent level, I mean, I think the Razorback fans are going to be back strong as ever, and we're on the verge of that. It's coming, and you know what? It never happens as fast as you want it to. But I'll tell you what: take a look at our basketball program. A great example during this period from Nolan Richardson through to Mike Anderson. You know, we had average basketball teams, we had average academic performance, we had average athletes, and a big piece of that is recruiting and academic performance. And, you know, two of the things that we're going to help this program with is, one, a basketball practice facility, which is vital. You've heard me talk about it before. We will be the last program in the SEC and probably one of the last major universities in the country to get a basketball practice facility. That's just plain and simple. People look at me and say, well, what do you need that for? You know what, if you don't believe me, just look around the country, and the people that are beating us in recruiting and beating us on the court, they have a basketball practice. Right? So it's not a luxury item. It's a must-have, and we're going to get it for our program. And our academic support center is vitally important because, again, when you're going out recruiting, you got to show academic success as well. And we have underperformed in that, and there's reasons for that. But we've taking the steps to correct that, and now we've got to get a facility where the people can work with our student athletes. So I'm very passionate about this. It's something we have to have for our program, and it's something that will make Mike Anderson and Tom Collin even better at what they do on the court.
Staying on in basketball, we talked a lot about the divisions, the East-West going away in basketball, and some people, you know, your older type guy, I put myself in that category. I love it. I still love the East-West type of rivalries, but I know the coaches seem to like just doing away with it. What's your thoughts on why it's all the coaches want to do away with having the East-West and just one big conference? And what are
the
advantages?
Well, if you remember, I was one of the few that was against that. I've been in favor of divisions. I like it because it engages your fan base. You know, when you're competing for the West title, it means something. And to me as an AD, that draws people to your seats, to your arenas, because you're fighting, competing for something. If you're just fighting to be fifth or sixth or fourth in your 14-team league, I don't think that means as much to the fans as if you were fighting for a title. I don't mind if they seed based on overall performance for the tournament, for the SEC tournament. That doesn't bother me. If they deem that the winner of the West is only the fourth seed or fifth seed in the whole thing, I'm fine with that. But I think having that West title is important. The TV folks and the conference commissioners have, you know, indicated to us that they believe by having no divisions, you have a better chance of qualifying more teams for the NCAA tournament. I think that remains to be seen, but that's the main argument for it.
Jeff, it's obviously been a tumultuous year, to say the least. I think everybody's excited about the way things have settled out with the hiring of Coach Bielema, which we want to ask you more about. But when people, whether it's talk show hosts or fan base or whoever it is, are begging to hear from you, and you're trying to evaluate and take care of your business and not necessarily do it in a public way, how difficult is that for you to sit back and to take care of your business and not get out in front of it and speak publicly all the time? Like, you know, because I'm sure people were begging you to get out there and talk, whether it was during the troubled football season or whether it was during the hiring process. I think everybody would agree you did an unbelievably great job and it worked out well. But I would think that with all those people calling for you, there is some pressure on you to get out and be public about it.
Well, yes, and thank you for the compliment. I appreciate that. You know, but as a leader, you know, we have an obligation to lead our program, and yes, you have to mix in that there is a responsibility to be out in front as a leader and to be able to speak publicly. But I've always felt that there's a time and place for that, and I think you guys have gotten to know me that I'm not someone who just seeks out the spotlight and the limelight. At least from my perspective, I'm sure there are fans out there that think that I'm that I'm always out there and all that. I get that because I hear that from some fans. But I think that my role as a leader, you know, I have to do the things that I believe is in the best interest of our program. There's a time and place to be out there and speak to the media and be public. And I think, I have to evaluate when that is. And I'm not a guy that tries to be out there all the time. But I do understand the responsibility I have to communicate. But there's also a time in a coaching hire where you know, you just have to keep your mouth shut and go about your job. And, you know, put on blinders and earplugs and not listen to all the things around you because you've got that takes you away from doing the best thing for your institution and your program. So once we did those things, then, you know, I'm happy to speak publicly about what we're doing. And but again, the focus has to be on our program, on our student athletes, you know, on our coaches and what they're doing with their young people. That's the most important thing to me.
Well, you were able to do a fantastic job in this recent hiring of Coach Bielema. When did he get on your radar for a potential hire?
Well, I've known Coach Bielema, and I think it's been written about a little bit, but I met him on the beach, South Beach, prior to, I think, the 2005 National Championship. He was down there for an award representing Wisconsin, and I was there as a Pitt AD, and we really just struck up conversation on the beach as we waited for this award ceremony. And, you know, he was dressed in shorts and flip-flops and a logoed Wisconsin shirt, and I'm like, who is this guy, you know, and engaged him in conversation and found out, you know, he was a linebacker's coach or whatever it was. And so from that point, I kept track. I mean, because I think it was just a year later, he was named head coach. So when I look at Wisconsin and I respect Barry Alvarez and I see that, you know, he had a number of senior-level guys on that coaching staff and he handpicked Brett Bielema, I said, whoa, that's that young guy I met on the beach. So from that point, I just kept following. You know, I didn't know him personally or anything like that, but just professionally followed his career and follows, you know, the coaching people that I know throughout this. Haven't been in five of the six BCS conferences. I know a lot of coaches and people. And I just kept track of it. And that's what you do in my world. You kind of see people, keep track of them, and then, you know, when you're in a situation like this, you've already done some evaluation before you get to that point.
Jeff, I was just going to ask Jeff Long on with us. A lot's been talked about the note that he sent you recently. I guess it was a year now, whenever it was, that he sent you that note. Is that something that happened? Was that just out of the ordinary for a coach to send you a handwritten note like that?
You know, no, I'll tell you, I probably got a half a dozen from coaches across the country sometime through the summer into the early fall, you know, just expressing their appreciation for how we handled things. And so when Brett's came, I didn't overly react to that. Mm-hmm. But I did say to myself, well, you know, hey, this is cool. You know, this might be somebody we look at. So it just kind of reinforced what I always thinking. I never took it. Now, there's some that believe it is, and, you know, only Brett will know. But I never took it as he was, you know, reaching out, expressing interest in the job. You know, maybe I'm naive, maybe yeah, that. But I never took it that way, and right, in our conversations, Brett never expressed it as that.
Jeff, what's typical, you know, without getting into specifics on names or anything like that, I mean, do you typically reach out to people, or do you have agents calling you going, hey, my guy would be interested if you were interested in him?
No, it's both and everything. I mean, agents are reaching out. Heck, agents reach out before you even have an opening. You know?
Yeah, I guarantee it.
Yeah, they're out there trolling all the time. But, you know, it comes at you both ways. You know, there's certainly people that we reached out to at the appropriate time. But most of it comes to your doorstep, either a third party or an agent or a coaching associate or friend says, hey, you know, I talked with so-and-so. If you're interested, he'd have an interest, that kind of thing. So, you know, there's a lot of informal ways that information reaches you.
It's funny the way things have changed, and you've been around a long time. I personally have never seen the level of interest about assistant coaching hires like we saw with Brett Bielema. And maybe it's because there were some people concerned about him coming from the Big Ten and maybe not a lot of connections to the South, but people were looking at those assistant coaches as being very important, especially on the recruiting front. I don't really have a question in there. I guess the phenomenon, though, and the level of interest in assistant coaches was something that sort of stood out to us because it was a little bit unique.
Well, I will tell you what that reminds me of your statement there is that, you know, when I met with Brett and interviewed him, I was very interested in what he was going to say when I asked him about how many of his staff he planned to bring. And, you know, many times it's, hey, I want to bring my whole staff. But Brett did not want to do that. And I thought that was very wise of him because he said to me, look, I need something different at Arkansas. This formula doesn't necessarily just all translate from Wisconsin to Arkansas. And I thought that was very, you know, that really impressed me because I believe that. And so he said, you know, I'm going to bring some guys, but I'm also going to go out and hire the best coaches I can find. And he was also, you know, that was part of our discussion about the assistant coaches pool. And, he was very willing to take somewhat less in his salary in order to have more in his assistant coaches pool. And I respect that. So he's compensated very well. And then he's allowed us to compensate assistants very well as too. And I think that wow, when you look at the staff from top to bottom, it is a quality assistant coaching staff.
Yeah, it is. When you look at scheduling going forward, Jeff, and you know the non-conference part of it, and also the SEC portion, you know, there's been talk, I guess, over the years about you know potentially adding another conference game. A, are you in favor? B, do you think it will happen? And then as far as going forward non-conference wise, what's the philosophy between yourself and Coach Bielema about what you guys want to do with those non-conference games?
Yeah, you know, it's our schedule is brutal. I mean, it just is, and it is, but it's a fact, and that's what it is. So as far as the ninth game, you know, I'm divided. I'm mixed on it. I do think it's going to happen, although that's just an opinion. There's nothing, I want to make it clear, there's nothing I've received from the SEC. You know, we've discussed it, but I don't have any indication that we're going to nine games. I'm sure we will continue to discuss it. There are some that believe strongly in it and others don't. So that will be something that will be figured out. But regardless of whether eight and nine games, you know, there's going to be additional pressure because of the new playoff system, the 14 playoff, to make sure that you add a strong strength of schedule non-conference. So, you know, I think regardless, you're always going to see at least one kind of BCS-level opponent on that non-conference schedule, and then you try to fill in with as good as you can to make sure you have a reasonable strength of schedule. But, again, the thing that we have going for us in the SEC is we're going to have a strong strength of schedule just by who we play in conference, and you can't argue with that. Other conferences will try, but, you know, obviously what we've done over the last 7 years and what we've done in bowl games, you know, clearly this is the strongest conference by quite a bit, in my opinion.
Yeah. How much do you think that impacted Coach Bielema coming here with the playoff looming? I mean, was that part of the discussion as far as him maybe having a little better track to the four-team playoff by coming to Arkansas?
Yeah, I think so. I think Brett, you know, as he said, he wants to give us a something we've never had in a SEC championship, and then obviously it follows automatically. If you win the SEC, you're going to be in that playoff system. So, yeah, I think that Brett believes that we have the resources, we have the facilities, we have the program, we have the support from the university, we have the support of the passion of the Razorbacks, we have an entire state behind us. All of those things give us a great chance to compete in the national championship. And, you know, we're in the best conference to do it from. I mean, the odds are best. If we can get through this, we're going to be in that chance. And we're going to be best prepared to win a national championship. So I think all of that played a part in Brett coming to the University of Arkansas.
I think you just accidentally coined a phrase right there, razor base. I like that.
Razor base.
We'll call the family razor base. Razor base.
Hey, hashtag razor base. I
like
that. It.
Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Jeff, you
I
never
get
really
talking
have...
fast. I had a good cup of coffee this morning.
I like it.
You never really have any downtime, but you seem to have pretty much everything in place now. So you going to get a chance sometime soon to hop on that 10-speed bike and hit the hills up in the Ozarks, or what?
Well, you know, no plans yet, but I tell you, I am proud of what we've put together over the last 5 years and the team we put together here, both administratively and coaching-wise. And, you know, I think we are prepared for a stretch. But again, I hope that I can shift some of my attention to some of the things. Obviously, you know, fundraising here for these three projects is a big challenge for us, and you know, it's vital for the future success of our student athletes, both academically and athletically. And so I am really energized by that, and I'm really going to get out there and get to those supporters who can help us and really make these three become a reality, because they are critically important to our program, and it really means future success. So I'm energized by that, and that search took a little bit out of me.
You're still going to continue to work out, though. We talked to you last time about your workout
routine. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'm actually spinning. You want to spinning cold outside? I'm spinning inside, and, you know, some of these people think, oh, that's sissy stuff. Let me tell you. That's what I was asking about.
I was hoping that you was, you know, now going to get some time, because you talked about how much you enjoyed getting out there and pedaling out there, and you were part of a bike team or something like that.
I've been spinning hard, ready for that weather. When that weather breaks, we will be out there, and I'll be out there in better shape than I have been. You know, I have ridden down in Little Rock. I like the Little Rock trails too. So
yeah, it's good. When we come down for the games and such,
I'm bringing my bike.
Say we've committed a lot of tax dollars to bridges and paths, so yeah, I'm glad that somebody's using those, because we are not on that list.
Jeff, don't give in to the bike shorts, my man. Please don't give in to the bike shorts.
You gotta have the pad.
Hey, I gotta be honest with you. I wear bike shorts, but then I put athletic shorts over the top of them, because I'm a modest guy.
I respect that. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for coming on. Good catching up with you, and thanks for all you're doing. We'll talk to you again soon here.
Always enjoy being out with you guys. Good luck, and take care.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
All right. Jeff Long.
We got to